The idea is this. God gave the law knowing that people would break the law. You said, did he? Didn't he think someone would keep it and as a result of that be saved? No. Turn now to Romans 5 and 20. Romans 5 and 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, why did the law come in? Why did God give the law that the offense, the transgression, might abound? So a man could see himself as what he is. And see himself as God sees him. I'm glad we can read the rest of that. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So no matter how far sin goes, the grace of God can go a little further. Take care of the situation. Well, that's what you're on shouting down to get thinking about that. That's great. Now, another scripture I'd like for you to note is Romans 7:5 and also Romans 7:13. We'll get both of them. They're close to each other. Romans 7:5 and Romans 7:13. Romans 7:5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. For when we were in the flesh, now, let's stop, think a little bit about that term, flesh. It doesn't mean just flesh as you see on my hand. Meat, bone, hair, no. It means natural man. What we are from Adam, that's flesh. Later on in the year, we'll give you a Bible definition of flesh. Flesh has a will. Flesh has desires. On like that. Well, you can see that flesh is natural man. For when we were in the flesh, when we were in our natural state, when we were not born again, when we were strangers to the grace of God, the motions of sins which were by the law. What did the law do? The law set in motion the sins already inside. Now, a few times I've actually tried to illustrate this. I thought about trying to do it this morning, but I didn't think early enough. But you imagine that I have before me here a glass of water. In the meantime, I have put a little dirt in that water. But I've let it set for 24 hours. And all the dirt has settled to the bottom. So I hold it up before you, and it doesn't look bad. You hardly notice the sediment in the bottom. But let me take a spoon or something else and agitate it. Don't add anything. I only agitate what is already there. And you would say or think, at least, you know, I didn't think there was that much fill in that glass of water. Now, I see, stirring it up didn't add anything. But it gets us to understand that there's really more defilement there than at first caught our eye. Let me tell you. God says, don't do this. Or God says, do that. And it sets in motion what is already in the heart. Did you know lying doesn't make a man liar? It doesn't? No. Lying does not make a man a liar. He lies because he is a liar. Now don't tell me an honest man is a liar. He's first a liar at heart. It's first inside. It may be, as it were, dormant. Then comes the law and reveals what's in that heart. Stealing doesn't make a person a thief. You say, well, I thought it did. No. Let's get things like they really are. A man steals because he is a thief. Because he is a thief at heart, then he'll let these hands reach out and take something that doesn't belong to him. And let me tell you something, it's not hand trouble. This is where the social gospel fellows are mixed up. They won't put some sort of religious salve on the hands, so they won't stick, you know. If they accept the maniac, which is a nice word for a thief, it's not hand trouble, is it? It's heart trouble. He's a thief at heart. He covets. No man has ever stolen that did not first covet what he stole.
So by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law entered that the offense might abound. And says, when we were in the flesh, that is in our natural state, the motions of sin, which were by the law, are caused by the law. The law of God put in motion what was already there. Now that's a point that I think is very important. Let me show you what I mean. A fever thermometer does not create fever. Be kind of silly to make a claim that a fever thermometer creates fever. I can remember times when I was sick, maybe not seriously ill, and my mother would get a fever thermometer and take my fever, check it, and find that I had rather high fever. And she would become rather alarmed, you know. Fever is a red light flashing, telling us it's a good thing. It tells us something is wrong. It won't tell you exactly what it is necessarily. But if you've got a high fever, there's something wrong. It's God flashing a red light and saying there's something wrong. But the fever thermometer didn't create the fever, it just measured it and enabled my mother to see, well, look, this boy is sick and he needs attention. See? A speedometer doesn't create speed or distance. It measures. But it creates.
And an air gauge doesn't create air. It gauges the air that's in a container you might be testing. I've often likened the law of Moses in relation to salvation as a mirror. It shows us what we look like before God. It's, I tell you, if you listen to God's word, lost people listen to God's word, they get a picture that's not pretty. And I tell you, once I saw what I looked like, I didn't like what I saw. Did you? But let me tell you, a mirror will tell you what you are, it'll tell you what you look like. You know, when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, kind of discouraging. First, it tells me, you need to comb your hair. You know, part it, what little there is, get it in order. Wash your face, you look awful. Shave. But now, I don't ever try to comb my hair with a mirror. I don't ever try to wash with a mirror. See, that's not the purpose of a mirror. A mirror tells you what you are. Let me tell you. You look into God's mirror, and if you're a thief, the mirror will say, you're a thief. And leave you a thief. God won't make you honest. You ever thought about that? Well, we need to think about this. I'm going to give a lecture sometime before long on law and grace. That meant a lot to me. And I'm going to put you on your own instead of this golden key. Now, if you don't do that, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You do that. You study it carefully. It's small book, but don't discount it because it's small. Get those basic principles firmly fixed in your mind. Now, in Galatians 3:24, we're told that the law was a schoolmaster. Bring people to Christ. It was not a savior, but pointed to the savior. Look, it was, I'm fond of illustrations. Illustrations help me. They're just like windows, you know, they let in light. I like to think of the law as somewhat like a signboard. A signboard. The law was a schoolmaster. Pointed people to Christ. Now look, if you're coming into the law and you see a rather prominent sign, let's say it says 10 miles to Little Rock and indicates, you know, which way to go. I would think it odd if I came by and found you a straddle of the sign. And I asked you, what are you doing here? And you say, it says, I'm here, Little Rock. I'm going to Little Rock. That sign won't take you a little while. It won't take you a little while. But it won't take you that. The law of Moses pleased both believers. The law of Moses never did save a single soul. Every animal sacrifice like a finger of blood, pointing to Calvary, where Christ would die for our sins. Now I'll tell you how simple it is. And I hope that you will not despise the simple things that I try to present to you. I strive, I work hard to make things simple. I feel I should, but we usually think of the cross as representing Christ, and so we do that. You can see I'm a sinner. I can't even draw a straight line. But here we are in the Old Testament era. People looked forward to Christ. For instance, Genesis 3:15, even that early in the scriptures, there was the promise. Listen to it now. The promise was that the seed of the woman would bruise or crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Now, I know that's figurative language, but figurative language is true. The bruising of the heel, I've had my heel bruised. I went barefoot till I was grown, especially in the warm season of the year. I'd go barefoot now if it weren't for the dignity of my office. I would. I don't especially care to wear shoes. But I've had my heel bruised And you can get over that. But let me tell you, when your cranium's crushed, that's it. That's language we can understand. Look, it says, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. A reference even to the virgin birth. Not the seed of a man. I speak reverently. Not the seed of a man, but the seed of the woman. All right. If Adam and Eve believed that and looked forward to that coming Redeemer, they were saved. And I'm inclined to believe they did. Well, then, you know, for a long, long time, the world didn't have the law of Moses. But when the law of Moses was given, and the Ten Commandments were given, which no one's ever kept except Jesus Christ. Now, don't give me any pious look and say you kept them. No, You don't know of anyone else that had. And then it showed the exceeding sinfulness of man, and then these animal sacrifices said, look, there's coming one who will die for you. Okay, here we are over here on the other side of the Christ that's already come in the New Testament era. And we look back to a Christ that has already come, and it's by faith, whether it's in the Old Testament era or in the New. I've never seen Christ. Have you? I haven't seen anyone that has seen. You cannot escape faith. Faith. Abraham believed God. He believed God concerning the promises of a coming Redeemer. And he was saved. Now, here's a question that comes. How could you be saved by a Redeemer that hadn't already come? How could you have faith in a person that hadn't come? Well, you know, I've been stumped so many times when you've got about 30 or 40 against one, it's pretty rough, you know. See, all of you against one, and you think of things that I've never even thought of, and give them to me. And I've had to face this thing. How could people be saved in a Savior? How could they be saved when the person hadn't even come? Well, one day this thing became so simple to me until I stood in amazement. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. And every last one of you will understand this, and I hope you'll grasp it, and it'll make you happy. The second coming of Christ, the second coming, is future, right? All right. Now, don't you believe he's really going to come back? Do you not by faith reach out and get hold of it and it becomes solid? Sure. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to the second coming of Christ when my redemption, my salvation, will be completed. Now somehow I don't consider that mysterious. It's real. He's coming back. I stake everything on it. All that I am, all that I possess, and all my future, my destiny is settled on the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, if I can do that, if I can look forward to Christ coming back, say, for instance, to give me bodily redemption, why couldn't these people believe the promises that God made concerning the first coming of Jesus. And through those promises, say, I believe God. I trust God to do what he says he'll do. He says he'll provide a Savior. And I put my trust in that coming Redeemer. Just like we put our trust in him who has come. And we put our trust, unwavering trust, in his return. And we don't consider that any problem at all. To me, Brother Wayne, the second coming of Christ is so real, it's solid. You know, faith just makes it solid. You know, it's so real that it's solidified. It's genuine. It's day by day thing. I'll be glad when I won't have to take anything. Fast relief and things like that. Bless your heart, the time will come when I'll get a body and you'll get a body. There just won't be anything wrong. A lot of improvements got to be made, I tell you. And they will be. Never get tired. Never be subject to fatigue, never be subject to disease, never be subject to death. I spent a great deal of time in the last few days with a sister who is at the point of death, age 78. And I think she'll possibly live a few days, maybe a few weeks. But I long for a time and a land where there be no death. Don't you? And so it's real. Now if I can look forward to that, why cannot these people look forward to a Redeemer who would die for their sins? And let me tell you, when Jesus came on the scene, he identified himself as the Messiah by the wonderful works that he did. And that edges us on to miraculous things. But he didn't leave any doubt. He didn't come on the scene and say, okay, I'm the Messiah, and sit down. Do no more. If he'd have done that, some old Jew could have said, and I speak reverently, he could have said, well, look, I'm looking for the Messiah, but how do I know you're the Messiah? Others have come and said they were the Messiah. Let me tell you, when Jesus got through with the wonderful works he did, he gave convincing evidence that he was the promised Messiah. So the law pointed people to Christ. Someone said to me one time, were those people saved back there if they offered animal sacrifices that pointed to Christ? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are people saved today when they're baptized? Are people saved today when they take the Lord's Supper? They are if they have faith in God. And these people were saved if they had faith in God. Otherwise, they were just like Camelites and others that go through the rituals and know nothing about a personal living faith. People saved because they go to church? Are people saved because they put in collection plate? Nope.
People are saved when they repent of their sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true in Old Testament days, that Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Christ of the New. One way of salvation, only one. They look forward to it, we look back to it. So the law was not a savior. I want to give you a scripture. Just write down, not a savior. And underline the word not. K-N-O-T. You'll remember it if you spell it that way. Not a savior. The law was not a savior. Now I want you to take three references. Now I don't know whether we'll have time to get them or not, but Galatians 3:21, Galatians 2:21, and Galatians 3:11. Now let's start. If you'd like to turn to Galatians, I tell you, you ought to just wear out that Bible, so you have to get another one. Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If God, I speak reverently, if God could have given a law or a set of laws that would have brought salvation, salvation would have been by law. Now, let's notice the next, 2:21. Galatians 2:21. Paul said, I do not frustrate or make void, is really the idea there. I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, if you need that explained to you, you might as well go home for early dinner. Forget about the whole thing. If righteousness comes by keeping a set of laws, I say if, make that if a mile high. If righteousness come by the law, then Calvary was the blunder of the ages. God the Father would be guilty of murdering his son. No reason for it. Because man could be saved by keeping the law. It wasn't necessary for Christ to die. Now wait, I didn't say it wasn't necessary for Christ to die. I said, it, you know, if you could do it by law. Well, let's read it again now. I do not frustrate or make void the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The death of Christ is no good. Didn't do anything, because if salvation by law, there was no need for his death. Now, Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, he may be justified in his own sight or in the sight of others, but not in the sight of God. No man has ever been made just in the sight of God by any kind of law. Now, the next question, and our time is up when? At 12 or at what? Well, is the bell ringing? I don't know whether it is. We'll go just a little bit further. We have one more question to ask. We'll not be able to finish it, but at least start it. How long did the law of Moses last? How long did the law of Moses last? It was given at a certain time. Well, it went along for about 2,500 years before the law of Moses ever given. Do you know that? He said, well, how in the world were people saved? By grace through faith. Well, how were they saved when the law of Moses was given? By grace through faith. And the law of Moses was intended to help people to see their need of a Redeemer. And thus turn in repentance and faith. In Galatians 3:19 and also 3:16. Would you put that down? Galatians 3:19 and Galatians 3:16. Now 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come. Till the seed should come. Now, what's the seed? Well, let's just let Galatians 3:16 give us the answer. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, the law was to last until the seed should come. And it tells us who the seed was. Christ. Christ came, was born under the law, kept the law, fulfilled the law, nailed it to the cross, and took it out of the way. We're not under the law of Moses. Well, our time's up, and we'll begin there. We have a little more to say along that line. We were talking about the law of Moses. Look, I didn't get a black on that either. Did you want on that stretch to me? Brother Parker, we got to have a little fun. Well, okay. I'm not going to go around with a face long enough to eat oats out of a gas pipe just because I'm saved and in the service of the Lord. There's no reason for that, is there? Well, okay. I tell you, if a man's right in heart, that takes care of the other. It's not the color of the skin. It's not skin trouble. It's heart trouble. That's true. And that's the problem between whites and blacks. Heart trouble, not skin trouble. Heart trouble. That's our problem. That's my problem. That's your problem. You didn't think I'd get down that close, did you? Well, it is. All right, to the law of Moses, we were answering the question, how long did the law of Moses last? It had a beginning. Its beginning was on Mount Sinai. on Mount Sinai. We are told in Galatians 3:19, you have that in your notes, that it was to last until the seed should come. And Galatians 3:16 identifies the seed as Jesus Christ. Now, let's not go after anything else. Just that one thing. It was to last until the seed should come. And the seed was Jesus Christ. Now, open your Bibles to Colossians 2:14. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Days, plural. There were many Sabbaths other than the weekly Sabbath. Now that's the study in itself. But you can study for yourself on that and see that Israel had many Sabbaths. There was a Sabbath for the land. Every seventh year, the land was to have a Sabbath, a rest. And you know, Israel, like a lot of people today, thought they were smarter than God and decided they would ignore that. For 490 years, they did ignore it. But God didn't. They were sent down into Babylon, where they were in concentration camps or in captivity for 70 years. Land had its rest. Notice he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat. Now that's an old English word that meant in 1611, food. Not meat. I started to say meat like bologna, but bologna is not meat. It's high, but it's not meat. Not altogether. Some of it has a lot of cereal in it. Let no man therefore judge you in the food you eat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. Now, the law of Moses had a lot of holy days. All you have to do is read the scriptures and see that. And the new moon and the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. What was the body that was casting the shadows? Christ. These people who lived under the law of Moses walked in the shadows. They walked in the shadows. when they offered animal sacrifices, they were walking in the shadows. What was it that was casting the shadows? What was it that these animal sacrifices were pointing toward? What was casting the shadow down through these